You're with Jason Burmes on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hi, this is Joe Hoft. We're back filling in for Jason one more hour tonight. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening in. I tell you what, TNTRadio.live has got one heck of a production going on around the clock, 24 hours, nothing but the news and the truth, and uncensored, unfiltered. So you be the judge. You can listen to whatever you want from almost any country, number of countries that we represent. So thanks for being here. We've got another great show lined up this hour. Great show. We're going to be dropping some breaking news that just I just reported on this morning, actually, out of California. Big stuff. And just a lot that we're gonna talk about here. And of course, we have our friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, joining us here shortly. But again, appreciate you being here. The first hour, we talked about a number of things. Started off really talking about this. What we're finding out now is this FBI, DOJ is absolutely corrupt, absolutely. And how they set up President Trump with the Mar-a-Lago raid. By the way, not only did they set him up so they could go down there and raid his place, never before have we seen this in U.S. history where a former president has his house raided by his political the opposition party. Never in U.S. history. I don't believe any president has ever had their house raided. Not even George Washington. We go back to more than 200 years. What they did to this president was outrageous. And there's a theory behind all that, too, that the big reason they went there, the big reason they set him up is because President Trump on the 19th of January in 2021, a day or so before the inauguration of senile Joe Biden, who stole that 2020 election. I've written three books on the steal that absolutely lay out my argument that the election never should have been certified on multiple grounds. And I think once you read that with an open mind, you will absolutely agree. I encourage you to go out there. You can go to joehoft.com and get a link to Amazon to order them, or just go straight to Amazon, look under joehoft.com. But that was all, that's all been laid out. But what we believe, the real reason that the FBI went there, raided President Trump's home on Mar-a-Lago so that they can steal documents from him that he took with him that he declassified on the 19th of January in 2021. These documents, we believe, are all related to Crossfire Hurricane, and he took them with him. These documents he had declassified, he legally had every right to have them. We believe that the DOJ and corrupt FBI went there, stole these documents from the president. They were his documents. They were in his possession. He was the rightful owner of those documents. The president has this Presidential Records Act where he can take with him whatever he wants when he leaves the White House. And nobody else has a say. The act says the president makes the call on what's his and what is the government's. And he took these documents with him. And then we have this raid where Joe Biden's DOJ claims they have the right to make the decision as to whatever President Trump has in his possession once he leaves. But we believe they stole all these documents that are related to Crossfire Hurricane, that whole Mueller gang set up where Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, John Brennan, James Comey, all these, I'd say, criminals set up President Trump on this sham that he was somehow connected to Russia. There's so much more to this story. There's so much that we're still learning, and it's outrageous. And every day we see this DOJ continue. They're continuing to develop and create lies about this president. And now we've got this case in New York, and the whole thing is outrageous. Fortunately, the Supreme Court's looking at some of this, saying, "Hey, you can't." To Jack Smith, one, you're not legally there. That was a question that Justice Thomas asked in the hearing last week in front of the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court. Another question is, do you have the right to indict a president for something that he did while he was president? And we think all Americans believe, no, this has never happened before. It's never happened before because we all believe you can't indict the president just because you disagree with an action that he takes. If President Trump wanted to look into that 2020 election because he felt like it was stolen, he had every right to do that. As a matter of fact, the majority of Americans who had their elections stolen from them were right with him. Biden didn't get 81 million votes. He was lucky to get 40 million. The guy's a clown. Nobody was showing up at his rallies and still is showing again today. So the whole thing's a sham. We've had to suffer through it. And you know, we've got to win this next election and prevent these guys from stealing the next one. And they're light years ahead, I believe, of the Republicans. So a lot more that we could talk about this, but we're going to take a real quick break so we can remind you who we are. And then we'll be right back with our good friend, Adam Clark.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, welcome, Adam Clark, to the Jason Burma Show here with Joe Hoft again tonight. I hear that you've got something you want to talk about, and it involves another, I'd say, government entity or government-sponsored entity, National NPR, National Public Radio. What do you have to say, Mr. Clark?
I say they're in trouble, Joe. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this one. This is one we've been tracking over here at Today's News Talk, TNT. But yeah, we need to have a conversation about NPR. What's going on here? Following these recent allegations, in case you missed it, by senior NPR editor Yuri Berliner that the news radio broadcaster's credibility is gone down the toilet. It's been undercut by political bias and slanted coverage, basically. Now, several Senate Republicans are urging the current NPR CEO, one Catherine Mayer, to begin a quote-unquote course correction. That's right. Mr. Berliner first went public with his criticism of NPR's alleged political slant in an essay that he wrote for the Free Press not that long ago on April 9th. In the essay, Mr. Berliner, 25-year employee of NPR, then working at the time as a senior business editor, described a shift away from a quote-unquote open-minded spirit in NPR's radio and online coverage to one that caters to the, quote, distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population, end quote, namely the progressive political left. Following the publication of his critical essay, NPR announced it had, said thank you to Mr. Berliner with a 5-day suspension, which began on October 12th, stating that his opinion piece for the Free Press violated his contractual obligation, and he was supposed to obtain permission first before publishing content with another news publication. By April 17th, Mr. Berliner said, you know what? Forget it. He officially resigned from the publication. In a letter, which has been organized by Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota, multiple Republican senators reiterated the claims raised by Mr. Berliner and called for the radio broadcaster and online news publication, NPR, to address the allegations and change its internal culture. The letter, which was again sent to Ms. Mayer, states, quote, if NPR's goal was to become an echo chamber, mission accomplished. But as a publicly funded entity, you are responsible for providing impartial coverage that accurately informs all Americans, regardless of political affiliation. This objective is decidedly difficult when nearly 100% of employees in Washington, D.C. congregate on one side of the political aisle, end quote. The letter argues that while Mr. Berliner has identified concerns of bias in NPR's national coverage, NPR's local radio broadcast affiliates are still widely trusted by the American public. The letter reads, quote, we urge you to start a course correction to address these issues. If NPR does not want to devolve into a one-sided opinion outlet, it should take a page from its local affiliates and embrace a culture of intellectual diversity and focus on balanced reporting, end quote. You mean the way it's always supposed to be, with no matter what you're dealing with here when it comes to news? So here's who signed on to the letter to Ms. Mayer. Senators John Barrasso, they're all Republicans, by the way. So Senators John Barrasso from Wyoming, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Roger Marshall from Kansas, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Dan Sullivan, Alaska, and Eric Schmidt, I believe, Missouri. So there we have it, Joe. Do you think NPR is going to listen to the GOP senators or not? What say you?
Well, I think their overall premise is just off when they say we need to be, they need to be more like their local channels of NPR. They're as radically left as anybody. That site is toxic. And it's just far left, toxic, top to bottom. Again, we mentioned this in the first hour, this tone at the top thing. If you don't address, you've got to address the whole thing. You've got to change the top. You've got to change major league, the whole top. Like if we're talking about DOJ, FBI, you've got to sweep out layers, get and create a new culture. And that's not easy to do. Changing a culture is really hard. Last week, NPR slandered me. They slandered Jim, my twin brother, and they slandered the Gateway Pundit. Jim announced and said that, hey, the Gateway Pundit is going to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And it was on the news, and NPR was mocking the news. You could look at New York Times, NPR, CNN, and they all had the same wording. It's the message gets sent to all the far left media, and then they all chime together, maybe change a word here or there. And NPR said some nasty things about us, conspiracy site, Gateway Pundit, blah, blah, blah. It's horrible. These are the people that sit back and allowed the Russia collusion thing to go on, pandered to it, that would talk about every day saying Trump was a Russian puppet. They're the same people that said the 2020 election was free and fair, COVID was fine. And the list goes on and on and on. And they called us the conspiracy site. It's outrageous. They shouldn't, being a public entity, they shouldn't be allowed to say things like that. You know, if CNN wants to, they're public, we're private. But I mean, if the government's saying that about us and we're paying for it, I mean, these guys are absolutely right. It has to be middle of the road. But it's not even close, nor has it been in years, nor is it at the local level. I disagree with these guys. They need to wake up. They're so, the Republican Party is so broken. They don't see there's people out there like us that are trying to survive this censorship attack that's coming at us every day and these nasty comments we get now from government entities. And they have no clue. They're going out for dinner and having a great time in D.C., and don't realize that Americans are getting attacked on a daily basis. What say you?
Well, and then there was this other part that you brought up or alluded to in the beginning and was mentioned here. I think this is going to reopen the argument about whether or not NPR deserves federal funding coming from the taxpayers. So there might be some sort of resolution there. Maybe NPR is not going to change its stripes, but if they're not gonna, then maybe they don't get to keep, you know, using our money to do what they're doing. You know what I mean? So I imagine we're going to see a lot of talking points surrounding whether or not. I think Marsha Blackburn, if I'm not mistaken, she's called for NPR to be defunded in the past. So yeah. We'll see, though, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I don't even know why. Seriously, where does it say in the Constitution that we should be funding a national public radio outlet or a TV outlet? It's so much, this stuff's just make-believe. It never was in our original Constitution, and it's just growing and growing and growing. I was talking to somebody today saying this government under Biden is just growing. It's just huge. That's what's keeping the economy afloat. It's government spending. And the rest of the Americans, the rest of the people are just kind of getting by. It's a nightmare. And so I'm not for the government paying for any of this stuff. It's, we got CNN. We don't need NPR. You know, we got MSNBC. We don't need NPR. You know, and we couldn't be funding them. That's my thoughts. Final thoughts there.
No, I agree with what you're saying there, 100%. If they want to act like CNN, let them, but not on our dime, you know, 100%.
Yeah. And if they want to act like, quite frankly, if they want to act like Gateway Pundit, you know, let them, but not on our dime either. They shouldn't be Why are we funding these entities in the first place? It's junk. You know, like we got money throwing around every, what are we, $34 trillion in debt? Everything we spend now is basically debt. And so, it doesn't make any sense. Nobody's got the courage to stand up and say, no more. And that's what we need. Anyways, Adam, thanks so much for being with us again tonight. And it's been a pleasure the last few nights, I guess, since Wednesday last week. Good seeing you. You're looking good. Great stories, and appreciate all you do. Have a great evening. Really appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break here on the Jason Burma Show with Joe Hoft, and we'll be right back with a special guest and a story, a breaking story from today that I reported at joehoft.com. I expect it'll be up at Gateway Pundit shortly. So we'll take a quick break right now.
TNT's Kate Shimarani.
You have to be very, very careful with pregnant women when giving them drugs, or women that are breastfeeding, because those drugs will be carried in the breast milk. So why are biological men being given drugs to produce milk, breast milk, that's being fed to the babies in the premature baby unit, SCABU? And they've actually said it's as good as women's milk. I don't see how that is possible, because those drugs that will stimulate the pituitary and everything else that this man is taking are going to be in that breast milk. What could possibly go wrong?
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
CO2 sustains all life on Earth, but now it's in long-term decline. We face the return of an ice age. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's Joe Hoft. We are back here on Jason Burma's show, and appreciate you listening in tonight. I tell you what, we've got some breaking news, and it is big. It is really, really big, and there's a lot of reasons why it's big. And the individual who shared this information with me just really in the last 24 hours and about a year ago was the first time I think we talked about this topic. Yes. Is an individual out of California. Her name's Chris Bush, and she has got some stuff that's going to blow you away. So welcome, Chris, here with Joe Hoft here on the TNTRadio.live. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I wish I could take all the credit. The investigation was mine, but you know, with great people like you, we're getting the news out about what Adam Schiff has been up to, exposing him, and hopefully we can save our country in the process, because this man has gone out of his way to do damage to this country. So I hope to be part of history.
Amen. Thank you so much. This guy, he's one of the most dishonest people I've ever seen in my life. I guess Mayorkas comes along now, and I think that guy, I just can't even believe the stuff coming out of his mouth. He just looks psychotic. But Adam Schiff does too, so dishonest to the point of being psychotic. He'd say anything. He lies about anything. We've seen it, and he's just so damn corrupt on top of it. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
You know, he's not a stupid person. He is incredibly intelligent, but he's also incredibly sloppy. His arrogance has just made him sloppy, left all of these documents, everything that I've been able to put together and had some other people help me organize it, because I started this about 2 years ago. And he just never thought he would get caught, never thought anybody would look into his criminal dealings, to him buying the house, moving his family to Maryland. He's even recently has been just, he went on an interview and said, yeah, I moved my family to where I work. Well, guess what, bud? It doesn't work like that. Not when you're in Congress.
Yeah, and a lot of people, maybe from overseas, we got a lot of overseas viewers too. They don't understand even who this guy is. He's a U.S. representative out of California. He's been around for about 20 years, maybe more, 24. Mm-hmm. Became a U.S. Rep, I guess, in 2001. He went to Harvard. He's got a long neck. President Trump called him pencil neck Adam Schiff, but he was so toxic. He also was behind the made up Russian collusion. She was part of that sham.
Yep.
But then which was criminal. It was a criminal act against the sitting president of the United States. He had a big role in that. He had a big role in setting up Roger Stone in that whole event. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, he did.
Roger Stone can't stand that guy because they brought him in, asked him questions, and then claimed that he lied to Congress. And that was Roger Stone's claim. And that's why they indicted Stone. It turned out, no, he didn't lie about anything. The lie that he supposedly said was that Russia had hacked the DNC and given emails to WikiLeaks. The whole thing was a lie, and Mueller knew it, and Schiff no doubt knew it, and yet this is what Roger Stone gets indicted with. So he's been a liar, he's been dishonest, he's been disgusting and conniving, and he tried to get President Trump. And then he was behind the impeachment. The first impeachment was all Adam Schiff working with. Now we know evidence just came out. I don't know if you knew this, Chris. Evidence just over the last few weeks about Eric Sciaramella, this guy that was worked with Biden in the Ukraine, who now we know was the so-called whistleblower who listened in on a phone call where President Trump talked to Zelensky, the head of Ukraine, did nothing wrong, and they impeached him for that. And who's behind all that? But you know, this big snake. Adam Schiff.
Correct.
What were your thoughts about all that? Have I left anything out on any of that?
No, you didn't. You got to remember, this guy thinks he is Teflon, that he is bulletproof, because he's been breaking the law since he got into Congress, especially, and it became evident in 2003. Because he was just reelected. He did his first term, lived in Burbank, and was reelected, picked up his family, sold the house in California around April of 2003, closed escrow, and then took those proceeds and put them to the house in Maryland. And it wasn't until he got caught. Go ahead.
You're right. You're spot on. And before we jump into that, before we do all that, why don't you give us a little bit about yourself, how, you know, your background and what led you to this point?
Okay. So I am running for Congress. I'm the nominee in California's 6th Congressional District. Now, this isn't my first run for Congress. The first time I ran was in 2020 against Doris Matsui. And when I had won the primary against Doris, that was the first thing that came to my mind is, where does Doris live? It's common knowledge in the Sacramento area that she doesn't live here. And I was a newbie at politics, really. I'd been involved, but never run as a serious candidate. So as I started digging into Doris Matsui, that's when I discovered the stuff with Adam Schiff and how they were both doing the same thing. Now, there's still a case open in Yolo County here in Northern California against Doris. But as I started digging into Schiff and seeing what Schiff was doing to the country, it became the precedence. It was more important than what Doris was doing.
Yeah.
What Adam Schiff is doing.
Yeah, let me interrupt it. And I'm sorry. Is your background in accounting, auditing?
Investigator. I was an investigator in a law firm, local law firm, for 10 years. I've had a real estate company for the last 20 years where I've done mortgage loans and real estate and dug up documents on properties during the crash, doing history, checking different things about homes and the history, the ownership history, again, about loans in a law firm for 10 years. Before that, I used to repossess cars. I was a bill collector and a repo lady. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing more fun than stealing a car, but doing it legally. I like my hair on fire. So I may be a grandma now, but in my running and gunning days, you know, I had a lot of fun. So going after people like Schiff,
Chris, I'm sorry. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back. Before you go out and, you know, steal a car legally, we'll take this break, okay?
Turn on the news!
News flash.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The UK Home Office is planning a nationwide operation to detain illegal immigrants for deportation to Rwanda, following the recent passage of legislation enabling this measure. A group of 21 House Democrats has expressed strong criticism of the ongoing anti-Israel, anti-Jewish encampment at Columbia University, describing the situation as a violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're back with Chris Bish. I tell you what, we're so excited to tell this story. It's hard not to even talk during the break. Thanks so much for being with us. This story is unbelievable about Adam Shifty Schiff, also known as Pencil Neck, also known as maybe the most dishonest person in all of DC, which is hard to really come by. That's quite an award. So, Chris, your background, it amazes me. It's right up your alley, what we're going to be talking about here. You used to work for a law firm. You know mortgages. You know property. You know probably deeds. You've even repossessed cars. I don't know if that's the right term. You've taken cars that needed to be repossessed.
I've repossessed cars. Yeah. Repos.
Okay. Repos. And so you've got this history knowing a lot about property. And yes. And then when you ran the first time, I guess, for U.S. House, you had this information on this one lady, and doesn't look like she was legit as far as living in the area where she's running for, which I believe the law says you have to do. I think Maxine Waters in California, too, was being questioned about that. She had a big home over here, but she's running in this district over here, and it never really made sense.
I was involved
Were you
in
really?
That, Joe Collins. Yes, I was. Well, it's amazing what I've got my fingers in.
Wow. Well, then you started looking into Adam Schiff. So Schiff gets voted into Congress for the first time back in 2000, I guess. So he's an attorney, and he then at that point, I guess, is sworn in on the 3rd of January, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And where did he live then?
He lived on Amherst Way in Burbank with his wife, Eve. And they owned the house
Burbank,
there.
California.
Burbank, California. He was a resident there. I believe he was with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles at the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is down in the L.A. area. And then, yes. So he lived there. There's the evidence, I guess, that he had a property there. You've looked into that.
I've pulled the mortgage documents on it, know that he owned it. He was legit.
Mm-hmm. And it was he and his wife. They had a couple kids. So he goes to D.C. And so what happens out there?
So he's in D.C., serves his first term, runs for re-election, and he's re-elected. So at that point, you know, the reasoning is if you're re-elected, then you're going to stay. You're there. You're a fixture. At least that's how DC looks at it. So he runs for re-election and then picks up his family, puts the house on Amherst in Burbank, puts it up for sale. It closes escrow around April, May 2003. And then he's already in contract and buys the house in Maryland. And he closes escrow on that in June of 2003. Now the kids are in school. We've seen from earlier people or new networks kind of covering this story. They had confirmed that his kids did attend school, that they were all residents of Maryland. And at that point, he had already sold the house in California, and we couldn't find another residence for him in California. But I wasn't really looking for one because I knew when he purchased the house in Maryland, it was his primary residence. He had signed federally guaranteed mortgage documents. They're recorded. It's all public record. And that's the, I guess, the simplest beauty of this entire claim against Adam Schiff. Every document that I have included against Adam Schiff is public record. You can find this stuff with a simple Google search, but you need to know where to look, what you're looking for, and when you find it, how to read it, and then how to apply the law. So it, you know, it, there's a lot of moving parts to this, but it ultimately, it's just so simple for people with a background. It's like a shining light. It's like, how did someone miss this? But they didn't really miss it. Because right. Adam Schiff was caught.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
He was caught in 2009. There was a organization called Taxpayers for Common Sense. And they had filed this claim against Adam Schiff, Doris Matsui, a couple other ones, that they were actually residents of Maryland. And the tax assessor in the state of Maryland went to Adam Schiff and said, hey, you're taking the homeowner's exemption because you're primary residence. So Adam Schiff tells them, you know, it was just a mistake. We checked the wrong box. It's not really our primary residence. So they ordered him to pay restitution. He took a deduction. He took a tax savings in the state of Maryland. And he said it was just an accident. He checked the wrong box. So he paid that money back. And then he got a pass. Nancy Pelosi was speaker. So he was able to get a pass out of House Ethics. And then he turned around and refinanced the house again, showing it as his primary residence. So it's a pattern of criminal behavior.
Right. And the criminal
brought his wife.
So the criminal behavior is maybe threefold. And we were talking about this earlier, and this is what I shared in this article today at joehoff.com. Like I said, we're hoping to get it up at Gateway Pundit as well. What happened was the law says a couple things, right? It says if you, I guess if you live in a state, then that's where you should vote. It also says if you're running for U.S. House, you have to have citizenship and a residency in the area that you're running for the U.S. House position. So Schiff, by checking this box in his mortgage documents, saying that this is his primary residence, he then cannot run for legally for office in California because he's claiming that he lives here. And on the other hand, he's must be claiming on some other docs that he's living in California because how else could he run for office in California? So he's committed one of these is a lie. You know,
right.
One of these. And it may be that, quite frankly, since he was really living in Maryland, and that's where his kids were going to school, it looks like the lie really was him claiming that he lived in California during this time period. A long time.
So it's a catch-22, because Adam Schiff, if you say that you are a resident of Maryland, your mortgage documents prove it. Those are public record. We know for a fact that you claim to be a resident of Maryland. And then clause six, not just that he bought the house, but he made a declaration under penalty of perjury saying that I am a Maryland resident. And each time he did it, there's a clause, clause six in the contract that's available on the internet that says that he would occupy that property for 12 consecutive months as his primary residence. Now, had he taken this as a second home or a vacation home, he would have been in the clear. But because he did a government guaranteed loan, which does, that's damages to everyone who has a primary residence because he got a cheaper interest rate by lying on the document or telling the truth in Maryland. But then he's in the catch-22 because I'm a candidate for Congress. He's been a candidate for Congress for more than 20 years, and he filled out the same paperwork that I filled out, that I signed under penalty of perjury, and then was sworn in. declaring that he was a resident of California. So he's in a catch 22. I don't care. I don't care which one he lied on. I really don't. If you're a resident of Maryland, own up. You raised your kids there. You signed your documents, took hundreds of thousands of dollars of mortgages in the state of Maryland. But then you collected a lot of money on salary and fundraising and everything else, claiming that you were a resident of California. And you can't do both. It can't be the primary residence.
It's against the
law. I think he's got tax problems too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both. Hey, we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back with Chris Bish here from California talking about Adam Shifty Schiff. We'll be right back.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, you are 100% healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. And my response was, that's impossible. I'm dying.
I wasn't working. So I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
Around here, bushfire is just a part of life. We've been through it before and we'll get through it again. The people here all look out for each other. We're a community that does its bit to plan and prepare, to keep everyone safe. We live with bushfire, so we live bushfire ready.
You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoff filling in for Jason tonight. I'm with Chris Bish from California, who's an expert at mortgages. She's an expert at a lot of things, real estate, all sorts of law. And she stumbled upon this information that U.S. Representative Adam Schiff has been lying either to, he had to have been, either to the state of California, to the state of Maryland. And by the way, this is a pretty serious offense if you're lying on a mortgage document, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Marilyn Mosby, she was the Soros-backed district attorney out of Baltimore. She just got a felony conviction for lying on those mortgage documents. A U.S. attorney in Maryland, she just was convicted on that. I haven't followed up on her sentencing, but this is serious. And in Maryland, his pattern of behavior, because he was caught, he had filed as a primary residence, taken out these mortgages, was caught, lied to the tax collector, paid restitution for his false statements, and then he turned around and did it again. Now, in criminal courts, it's considered a pattern of behavior. It's not one, it's not excusable. They even gave him the excuse when they caught him in 2009. And that's when he panicked and he bought this little one bedroom, one bath condo above a pharmacy down in Burbank to give the appearance of an address here. But then he turned around and refinanced the house in Maryland again as his primary residence. This is criminal behavior. And if it's happening on the mortgages, where he's defrauding people who do it the right way, who do it honest, you can only speculate, and that is literally the only speculation in this, is that he's doing it in other things. But this, everything in this case is public record.
It's just unbelievable that he would do this all for really, I mean, the difference between a first and a second mortgage or a first primary residence versus a second home, I mean, it's going to be different, but the house itself, I think I've seen a picture of it. It's not like this was a real big mansion or something. The difference in payments couldn't have been that much. All he had to do is pay the correct amount, basing that new that property in Baltimore as a second home, and he would have been scot-free. But now he's at risk of losing his position in the U.S. House. I think if we have any justice in this Justice Department, this needs to be looked into. So before we jump into that, you did file a complaint with the U.S. Congress, did you not? An ethics
yes,
complaint
did.
On Adam Schiff related to this, right?
Yes, actually, I had the help of a very dear friend of mine, John Stubbins. He has just been a real support. I've done all the investigative work, but getting the attention, I had a lot of help from John. And what I did was I prepared the complaint and was submitting it to the House Ethics Committee. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I took a break when I did it. I was thinking, you know, Chris, you are taking on a bad guy. He's taken down the president of the United States. What you're doing could be very dangerous. I actually slept on it and I came back to the office and I said, you know what? Right is right. It has to be done. And I hit send.
Great. And if not you, who? Nobody else was looking into it. You were right. You were on top.
Nobody wanted to come forward.
Yeah. So
because we do have a whistleblower.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable. So we have Schiff bought in 2009, gets a small, tiny little apartment in California, claims, I guess, in California that that's his resident and that's where he lives. Still claims that his primary residence, though, on the mortgage loan application is in Baltimore. And this goes on now for another period of years.
Well, it's in Maryland. It's in another town in Maryland, not Baltimore.
Yeah, right. But it went on, right?
It went on and on. He'd refinanced several times afterwards, claiming Maryland was his primary residence. And, you know, there's tax consequences to this. Remember, I'm a real estate agent. This is what I've been doing for more than 20 years. So one of the benefits of your primary residence, it's not just the homestead that you get with your local taxes, with your state taxes as your primary residence, but you're also taking the mortgage interest deduction on your federal tax return. So because of the status, how he's taken deed as his primary residence, that meant it's going to come over on his tax returns that he's a resident of Maryland. And, you know, I talked to a whistleblower for one of the mortgage companies who wants protection that I can't offer. Only Congress can do this or the FBI. So it's not something I can do. But the loan officer had confided in me that, yes, Schiff knew exactly what he was doing, not just once with this mortgage company, but twice. And they had told him that you filled out the mortgage loan application, but you're a representative from California. So the information you're providing is false. So what happened was Adam Schiff got this loan officer fired.
Wow.
For trying to hold him accountable. Yes.
Yeah. What a sleazebag. Schiff is something else. He's just something else. So he continues with this and he continues in the U.S. House. He gets involved in the Russia collusion stuff, sets up Roger Stone. And so the DOJ takes over and charges Roger Stone with lying to Congress, something that Adam Schiff, that blew me away. Schiff was lying there every day. And I guess the U.S. House members are allowed to lie and without any liability because it was the guy was just one chronic lie after another, even drafted some reports.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm going to tell you, members of Congress are not safe from perjury because we know that Stephen Watkins out of Shawnee County, Oklahoma, he was a sitting member of Congress. He used a false address to register to vote after he was elected. And the district attorney in Oklahoma charged him with 4 felony counts. Because not only did he register to vote at an address that he didn't live at, but he subsequently voted in an election. Now, on his part, you know, I've read the complaint from the district attorney and followed that case. He was charged in 2019. He was just elected in 2018 and then was sentenced in 2021. And his was, he moved, I guess he moved back in with the family and then opened up a mailbox, like a UPS store, one of those things. And he got himself a little box for all of his mail to go to. Well, then, you know, he was sloppy and registered to vote at this mailbox place and then voted in the election. Well, it was outside the district where he was actually living. So, you know, he didn't win re-election in 2020, sentenced I think it was 21. But Adam Schiff's was different. I believe Stephen Watkins, it was just sloppy. He didn't want the mail going to the family house and didn't think about it. Adam Schiff not only did it repeatedly, but he didn't do it in his hometown. He did it on the other side of the country. So it wasn't just outside the city limits. And on top of that, when he got caught, he turned around and did it again. Yeah. This is what we call in the criminal justice system as a repeat offender. It's just he hasn't been held accountable. And where we have Mr. Watkins, who was didn't win re-election, so he didn't have to get kicked out. But, you know, it's a criminal behavior. And we fast forward to George Santos, just on the accusations. He wasn't actually convicted and he was removed from Congress. So in all the evidence that I have presented with the help of Darren Ellis, young man that helped me type this up, the revised complaint, so it's easier to read, and John Stubbins, we demand that the United States Congress take action and remove Adam Schiff from Congress. And until this is fully investigated, I do not believe he is eligible to run for the United States Senate.
I agree. He should be in jail. But this other guy from Oklahoma, did he end up going to jail?
He ended up making a cutting a deal. So he does have felony charges, but I believe he had an ankle monitor because it was nonviolent. And honestly, in my assessment, and I am not a lawyer, but in my assessment, it wasn't malicious. It was sloppy. And
he was a Republican, right?
And he was a Republican.
Right. Now, and Santos was too. It seems Santos like this Republican. Too. Yeah. But Adam Schiff's a Democrat. He's been doing this for years, repeat offender. And now he's, you know, he's so bold that he decided to run for U.S. Senate in California. This is the big part of this whole story. This guy's running for Senate. There's a vacancy right now. And I guess he won the primaries, didn't he?
No, I thought Garvey won the primary.
Oh, he did.
Okay. Yes. Right? Yes. And it's been pretty quiet. Yeah. Garvey won the primary because the vote was split between the three major Democrats, which was Katie Porter, Barbara Lee, and Adam Schiff. So the good thing is we've got three seats in California that opened up that have been long-term Democrat seats that we conservatives, not necessarily Republican, but conservatives have a real opportunity to change the tides. And that's what I'm doing up here in Sacramento is we can really change California as people wake up in this presidential election. Because I don't really care what political party you're with. What I care is that you believe in right and wrong and justice. And there isn't a two-tier justice system. And when people do bad things and financial crimes, mortgage crimes, people go to jail all over this country. Yeah. And Maryland's pretty tough on it. So hopefully there's a U.S. attorney who received the information that I sent to the Maryland U.S. Attorney's Office, that they pick it up, they read through it, they see this interview and understand that the little Baltimore DA was an amateur next to Adam Schiff.
You're absolutely right. So Schiff's running for Senate. He did make it through the primaries, though, right? So he and Garvey now are what's left. The general election coming up in November. Can Schiff be replaced?
No. The vote was certified, I believe it was on April 12th. So these are the candidates. And if Schiff is ineligible, to run for U.S. Senate, it seems that Garby would be on the ballot as the incumbent without a challenger. And that changes
awesome.
Our fight. Yes.
I'm telling you, if we could get a Republican Steve Garvey in the U.S. Senate, that may flip the Senate, just that race alone. Have you ever met Garvey? Have you ever talked to him?
No, I haven't. I've had the privilege during the primary to be on several slate mailers with him that went out in my congressional district. And I believe it really made a difference, that and not only the work of Republicans, but the American Independent Party and the California Republican Assembly. They rallied the troops and came out. So there were six people in my race. I had two other Republican challengers, and we took those other two Republicans and we combined their vote. I still came in the top two. It's this race and the things that I am fighting for election integrity, to clean up Washington, D.C., as well as California. It's resonating with the voters here because somebody has to stand up.
Yeah, I've talked to people down there, Paul Preston from New California and others. They believe it's a red state. They said, you know, certainly Orange County was. And all of a sudden, one year, when they changed the election process, all these seats, U.S. rep seats in Orange County went blue. All like five or six of them all go blue. It's like, what happened? Nothing happened other than they changed the process for the elections. Do you have concerns about that coming up here in November?
Actually, I'm optimistic about it. And I'm optimistic because of everything that's going on in California. People are angry, regardless of your political party. People are angry. So Democrat voter registration in my district is less than 43%, which means the 57% majority of voters, we have an opportunity to make change. And that's a coalition of Republicans, no party preference, independents. And having worked with the recall of Gavin Newsom and election integrity, what we have found is the no party preference and the independents. These are mostly conservatives who are just tired, but they don't come out and vote. Now, we got a bump in this one with three Republicans running. We got a great bump of people getting excited. And so rather than go on the negative with my campaign, it's positive. It's the things that we're going to change. Anybody can regurgitate the drama that we all live every day, the inflation, paying utility bills based on the disconnect notice, or you know, senior citizens deciding between food and utilities or fuel for their car, co-pays on their prescriptions. It's we've got to be positive. Change is absolutely possible. So when you see these reports come out that say District 6, the one I'm running in, that it's a D+6, well, that's only comparing it to Republicans. And it's just like the way they changed this vote to the top two. I believe it's unconstitutional because when you take the top two, you disregard the independent vote, the Green Party, Peace and Freedom, Libertarian. There is a complete disregard for the people and their beliefs. So I'm hoping with my positive campaign that all of these other organizations, that these other people will rally behind this and understand that Democrats are not the majority in this district. They are the minority.
Well, that's great. Did you have your primary already?
Yes.
Or is it coming up?
I won.
You won?
I won in a six-man race.
Primary.
I came in second. Yes. And won the primary.
And number two is a Democrat or what?
Number one is a Democrat, and that is Ami Bera. And I plan
and
to
you're number two.
Him in November, and I'm number two.
Good for you. Great. Good for you. We're behind you all the way. Appreciate it. Plus, with all this work you're doing to just bring justice, it's not to get Adam Schiff. It's to hold people accountable for their crimes, which never happens anymore, especially if you're a Dem. And you hear Rudy Giuliani, who I really adore, say, this is outrageous. We've got one party, you can do anything. Another party, you can't even walk down the street and you're getting charged with anything. And including myself, Jim, Gateway Pundit, anybody that stands up for the truth gets hammered. So we appreciate what you do. I really hope we can take care of Adam Schiff here. This is big news. I'll be sharing it with some people as well.
Excellent.
Personally, because this is a big story. This guy shouldn't be doing what he's doing. It's outrageous.
Lots of advocates. Yes.
Great. How can people reach you one last time? How can you?
You can go to my website. It's bishforcongress.com, B-I-S-H for congress.com. I'm on social media. It's under Bish for Congress. It's very uniform. I'm up here in Sacramento, California, 6th District.
Great. Thank you.